Proverbs chapter 10. Find that chapter in your Bible, the 10th chapter. Brother Anderson, come on and sing for us tonight. That'll be a blessing. And then we're in Proverbs chapter 10 when he's done. God bless you. Sing it.
Sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my life thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, and Lord, taste the day when the faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul.
Well, thank the Lord. That's good, Brother Anderson. Thank you. What a great hymn. Amen. Don't let a little heat spoil your Christianity, all right? Keep a smile on your face. Keep happy. Just sweat and smile. Amen. That's good. So, praise the Lord. Good. Good singing tonight. All right. Ushers, help us. You're already ready to go. Great. Go ahead. Handout number 14 is coming your way. And they'll bring it to you. And that's wonderful. And so, keep your hand up until you get one. Just a moment there. And we are going to be in chapter 10. I would feel like if there wasn't a Bible verse to back up the first half of this lesson, I would feel like I would be meddling tonight. But I'm not meddling, I'm just giving you Bible truth, okay? And so I want you to get the paper and keep it there just to get ready, handout number 14. And we'll do a review handout here coming up in a little while. But we'll get this one done tonight. And right there, Brother Anderson, right back there, Zanetta. And anybody else? We're good? Everybody covered? Curtis needs one. Can you write, Curtis? All right, good. Amen. All right, good. That'll be amazing. All right. Got enough? All right. What we got, Joe? We got a broken unit. Oh, okay. So that's why we're having a little trouble cooling her down. So, okay. Hey, they don't ever break when it's 65 or when it's 70. They only break when it's 85 and 60% or 90%, whatever the humidity is. But anyway, we're not talking about that, right? Amen. That's right. So, Father, we're grateful tonight for the time to have church. Pray that you'll please speak to our hearts and send us home happy and blessed and helped and safe. And we'll thank you for it. Thank you for your book. What a marvelous Bible. What a marvelous Bible. In Jesus' name, And amen. Principle, living wisely, principle number 21. Jumping right into chapter 10. Look at verse number 4 with me tonight. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So we're drawing living wisely principle number 21 from that verse tonight. Living wisely means we are diligent with our possessions. Diligent with our possessions. Now, the usage of the words poor and rich in verse number 4, they tend to automatically make us think that this verse is about the handling of money. That would be included in this lesson, but that lesson really transcends just money. This verse really teaches the difference between good and bad stewardship. Good and bad stewardship. Now I'm going to make a statement, and don't write me off for it, because I'm going to get to the explanation of the statement in just a little bit. But I really believe when it comes to independent fundamental Baptist churches like this one, that we are living in a day when more of God's people are in stressful situations caused by mishandling their possessions than stressful situations brought on by immoral failure. Now, immoral failure brings on terrible stress to a family, a church, to people. But there's just, you know, thankfully, I don't see that as the bigger issue, in my opinion, is the stress that's brought on God's people by mishandling their possessions. We would look at immorality as a greater sin. Probably it's against the body, and probably the consequences are greater. But I do believe that God's people live under unnecessary stress sometimes just because we don't take care of our things. Now, see, I'm meddling. But I got a verse here that teaches us about it. The handling of money properly is dealt with over and over again in God's Word, but there is more, number two, not there yet, there's more to good stewardship than just the handling of money. Here's number two on your sheet. Stewardship involves all our possessions. It involves all of our possessions. A lot of times we think good stewardship just involves money, and it does, but it doesn't stop with money. It transcends just money. It involves all of our possessions. Now, in verse number 4, the Bible says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Number 3 on your sheet, the word slack means remiss. It's not using due diligence. It's not being earnest or eager in the care of our things. He becometh poor that dealeth with a remiss hand. One that doesn't use due diligence, not earnest or eager. We might use the terminology slack in duty or slack in service or slack in business. Okay? Very simply, it is referring to someone who is not careful and diligent with their possessions. Folks, number 4 on your sheet, even though possessions are not the most important thing in life, how we handle them is important to God. We're going to come to a verse in Proverbs. I don't know that we'll give much time to it in this service, but Proverbs, God takes care in the book of Proverbs to make sure that those who hunt diligently take care of the meat. That's how important it is to God. The handling of our possessions. Now, possessions are not the most important thing in life. We know that. We know that from Luke chapter 12, where Jesus warned and said, you know, don't make the mistake of thinking that a man's life consisteth of the things that he possesseth, the abundance of things that he possesses. So, but don't take that to mean that the things that we do possess, the care of those aren't important. The care of those things is very important. And I really believe, number 5, that some of our financial stress stems from the mishandling of what we have. Some financial stress stems from the mishandling of what we have. Now, take a break from your paper just a moment. Hold your finger here in Proverbs chapter 10 and turn over to a sister verse in chapter 21. Turn over to a sister verse in chapter number 21. Chapter 21, and look with me at verse number 5. This is a sister verse to the one in chapter 10, all right? And chapter 21, verse number 5. Now, watch the wording here. The thought of the diligent, the thoughts of the diligent, tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Now, this is a pretty telling verse, friend. Number 6 on your sheet, hastiness is probably the number one reason why we don't take care of our possessions. Hastiness. We're in a hurry. And it has to do with our thought processes. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. I got to get this done. I got to get out of here. I got to get home. I got to get this put away. I got to get on the move. I got to get out of here. We're in a hurry and we don't handle things properly. Instead of cleaning and putting things away properly when we are done with them, we hastily put them away. And folks, after too many times like that, we have to go and buy the item again. And too much of that makes us poor. It's unnecessary spending. When if we had just taken care of what God allowed us to get the first time we bought it. Now look, I understand things break and things wear out and, things don't always last. I'm not being overboard tonight. But I am saying that too many times we're just hasty with our possessions. And they end up in ruin. And we have to go maybe years or months earlier than we should have to purchase the thing that we just didn't take care of. And you know what? Whether you think that's important or not, I think it's important to God. How we take care of our things. So I know people have different ways of doing things. I personally have never seen anybody as organized as Emily Hansen's dad, Bob Ross. Dr. Bob Ross. I mean, his garage is cleaner than most people's living areas. And I had never saw, I mean, it's just, you walk in and you just feel rotten. It's one of those things where you just walk in and you just go, stink. It's just like everything is labeled. Everything. He must have 1,000 empty plastic peanut butter jars. The man must love peanut butter. I don't know. Or else all those girls did. I don't know. But he has, if he has a 2-inch number 8 Phillips head screw, he has a jar for those and all, 2-inch number 8 Phillips head screws go in that jar. If he has a 2-inch number 8 square head screws, they go in the next jar. And if he has a 2-inch, number 8 screw with a regular head, they go every piece, every screw, every nut, every bolt, everything is organized, labeled. It makes you sick. Has anybody ever been in his garage? Joyce, you have. So am I telling the truth? Did it made you sick? Yes. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have a bucket for screws. But I have to dump the whole bucket out to find the one that I'm looking for. Y'all like that? Or a junk drawer? And the longer you stay in one house, it's junk drawers. They multiply. I've never seen anything like it in all my life. He is the most organized. He really is. I am not embellishing this story. It is absolutely incredible. But he's a careful. He served in the Marines, and he's got that discipline. His dad was a Marine, and he's got that discipline. He's got that sense of organization and discipline, and I'm not making fun of him. I'm simply saying it's absolutely incredible. Now, I will never be able to live like that. Most of us don't. But seriously, if stock was ever taken of the stuff that I have in my garage, I would find that I have 5 or 6 of the same item in different places. Because I need something, and I can't find it, so I go buy it. And now I've got 2, but I don't know where the first one is. And next time I need to use the same tool, I've got 2, but I don't know where either one of them is, so I go buy a third one. Now, are any of you like that? Confession is hard on the reputation, but it's good for the soul. So, but seriously, why is that? Because we're in a hurry. We're hasty. We're hasty, too hasty. And I understand. There are things maybe that you can do that are more with your time that are more important than others. But you know, I'm not meddling tonight. I really believe that a lot of times we are sometimes under unnecessary financial stress. And look, there's no merit in using something that was manufactured in 1903. You know, looky here, I'm still using my grandpa's old wrench. I mean, okay, good. I mean, there's no merit in that. But the honest truth is, we spend money that we would not have to spend if we had not been hasty. And that's what the Bible's saying here. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. This would also including making purchases in haste, hurrying out and buying something without, you know, thinking it through. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 10 now. This is number 7 on your, we might have skipped some here. Number 6, hastiness is probably the number one reason why we don't take care of what we possess. Number 7, the first principle of stewardship. The first principle of stewardship is that everything I have belongs to God. That's the first principle of stewardship. Everything I have belongs to God. God owns my house. God owns my vehicles. God owns my clothes. God owns my tools. God owns my tractor, my lawn tractor. He owns it all. If you don't believe that, you know, again, I've said over and over again, all you got to do is read Job chapter 1, where God put everything Job owned in the devil's hands. If somebody has the power to give away what you or I own, we really didn't own it. They own it. And everything we have belongs. That is the first principle of stewardship. My wife. Who's your wife? Well, my wife belongs to me. She does. But before she belongs to me, she belongs to God. And my children belong to God and the grandchildren. Everything we own, everything that we call mine, in essence, belongs to God. That's the first principle of stewardship. And, you know, don't be hasty with things. I have learned from men here in the church. I have learned how to take care of things from some of you. Some of you are really good at taking care of your tools, taking care of your items, taking care of things at your house. I've been around your houses in some cases, and you know, it you don't live in a museum, but you're organized, and I think that's a good character trait to possess. A great character trait to possess. Now, let me meddle a little bit further. This fits in perfectly with things that go on here at church. Because this is really true here. Do you ever stop and think about the things, the items that are purchased with the tithe of God's people? To whom does the tithe belong? So items for the church are purchased with whose money? Yeah. Folks, we're failing. And I want to call everybody, staff, everybody who heads up any kind of special event where things are pulled out of closets and things are put away into closets to slow down. Things get tore up. And really, it's I understand. Moving things, you know, Brother Brown used to say, 3 moves is as good as a fire. He's probably right. When we moved from Iowa to Dover Turn, where we lived for what, 8 months or so, 9 months when we first came here, we had nothing that broke. When we moved from Dover Turn to where we live, which is only about 2 miles, we got to hurry. And some things got broken. Be careful with things. Sometimes after certain events, you go to that gym storage room closet and open it up, and it looks like an ISIS bomb went off in there. And I kid you not. It's just like, I just go, wow. We have game tables that get torn up. We have, you know, do you know these fiberglass tables? I would like to meet the person who invented those things and thank him. Because they sure are a lot easier to lug around than those old wooden tables. Remember those wooden tables? But folks, fiberglass tables aren't made to sit on. And every time I go to the gym, we got a new smiling table. Somebody sits on it. See, I told you I was going to meddle a little bit tonight, but I got a good Bible verse to back it all up. Amen? So you can't get mad at me. And that's the honest truth. Everything from, you know, equipment that is used to eat with in meals, tables, chairs, clean up the janitorial tools. You know, it just, sometimes we, you know, it doesn't belong to me, so. No, but it does belong to God. So, slow down. Yeah, if, you know, sometimes that north storage area in the school building up there, you know, stuff is taken out. And then, you know, there's other stuff that, to put it away properly. You have to move some items. But why do that when we can throw it back? Why would we want to roll out the racks of books when we can just heave it? I'm trying to be funny, but y'all are laughing. So that's right. It's what happens. I open that door and it's like, well, who did this? It's really, and after a while, we're spending and respending and respending and respending for things that really should have not torn up. Are y'all with me tonight? Y'all okay? Y'all, anybody upset? I'm sorry. I understand I'm meddling. I'm not really sweating because I'm meddling. I'm sweating because it's humid in here. But take care of stuff. Seriously. Take care of things. It's a thing, you know, you say, well, it's only $3 or $4. Yeah, but if we take care of 100 things that are worth $3 or $4, that's $300 or $400. That's a pretty good offering. Okay? So, let's be careful. Let's be careful, all right? We have a lot of people with keys. We have a lot of people that, you know, and I understand on Sunday people are here from, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, before 8 o'clock in the morning till after 8 o'clock at night, round, you know, all the time through. And, you know, I understand. Things get used. It's just part of it. It goes with the territory. But I really think we could do a better job taking care of things. And the biggest problem, come on, folks, admit it. I'm admitting it to you. The biggest problem with stuff I don't take care of is I get in a hurry. You know, I watched my father-in-law on the farm put his tools away. I watched him scrape the dirt off the shovel every time he used it. Take a little oil, just a little oil on a rag, and rub it on his shovel. Keep it from rusting. Didn't he have money for another shovel? Yeah, but he already had a good one. Why tear it up? Just makes sense, doesn't it? Huh? Just, you know, we don't ever have any money. I know we're buying and rebuying and rebuying and rebuying stuff that we didn't take care of. Everything from our vehicles, you know, teach your children to care for their things. Teach them to put their clothes away, to pick up items out of the yard, to be careful with tools, to overall handle items in a way that preserves their longevity, because living wisely means we are diligent with our possessions. Why? Everything we have belongs to God. So I'm going to take care of it. All right. We're done with that. Are you happy? Amen. All right. Number 22. Let's move on. Number 8 on your sheet here. We're dropping down to verse number 19. Verse number 19. A good proverb for us. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. We're talking about living wisely principles. So when we read that, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. That's a principle. Living wisely is learning to discipline the use of my mouth. Living wisely is learning to discipline the use of my mouth. Number 9, the wise person understands that God gave us two ears and one mouth. Maybe that's why in James 1:19 he said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Swift to hear and slow to speak. It must be that God intended for us to listen twice as much as we talk. A person that rattles on endlessly will find that more idle words are spoken than necessary words. And I love what Matthew Henry said about this. He said, those that love to hear themselves talk do not consider what work they are making for repentance. That was a great statement. In other words, the more we speak, the greater the chance that we're going to have to, that we're going to say something that has to be confessed as sin. That's probably true. Spurgeon said, men talk so much because they think so little. Drums make a great noise because they are hollow. That's what he said. That's what Spurgeon said. And so he's right. Now, there are times to speak, there are times to talk, there are times to witness, there are times to encourage. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. So that's in the Proverbs as well. There is a balance. There's a time to talk. There's a time not to be quiet. But in the course of our life, wisdom manifests itself in our learning when to be quiet. When I don't have to talk. Okay? Now, let me give you some examples here of this. The verse Numbers 10 through 16 will just be these things one after the other. Okay, number 10. Be careful about repeating a rumor to one who cannot shed light on its truth. That's a good statement. Be careful about repeating a rumor to one who cannot shed light on its truth. If I've heard a rumor, and all I'm going to do is pass the rumor on to somebody who doesn't know the rumor's false or true, you know what's going to happen? I'm only going to increase the embellishment or the exaggeration of the rumor. So I tell a rumor to a guy who doesn't know if it's right or wrong, and he takes it, tells it to somebody else, and what's he going to do? Our tendency, our nature, to ramp it up a little bit. And if that person can't do anything with it, whether it's true or false, they pass it on, they're going to ramp it up even further. So be careful about repeating a rumor to one who cannot shed light on its truth. I was sitting here at the wedding, Mary and Ben's wedding, just a few days ago. Well, your brother Joe Brown, during the time that Mary and Ben were dismissing you, and we were talking together, and he said, Brother Terry, he said, I heard this was said and in such and such a place. And I said, well, call Brother so-and-so. Brother so-and-so. I saw Brother so-and-so. I said, this is what Joe Brown told me was said. And I told him to call you. He said, please tell him to call me. That's the way, the best thing to do with rumors, call the person.
Right.
Call the person. You don't pass it on to somebody who doesn't know if it's true or false. Fact or fiction. Because it only gets ramped up. So be careful about that. Next, number 11. There are times when truth does not need to be repeated. Where it's true, but why tell it? Prime example of that, 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20, Saul and Jonathan are dead. They bring David the word. What does David say? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Don't tell this. It happened. It's true. Saul and Jonathan died. But don't tell it because it's going to give occasion to the heathen to rejoice. So don't tell it. So there are times when truth does not need to be repeated. Number 12. Do not be quick to speak in self-defense. Do not be quick to speak in self-defense. You say, well, I shouldn't. I said quick. The tendency when we speak quickly in self-defense, the tendency is to overspeak. Somebody needs to tell the prosecutor it in Baltimore, Maryland. Did you see? All of those charges against those officers were dropped. All of them. They were all acquitted. All of them. But no, she was on there, buddy. Stirring up the mess. She didn't refrain her lips. That's common in our country right now. Do not be quick to speak in self-defense. The tendency is to overspeak, and parents, you know, this is really true about your children. Be careful. You know, boy, you want to defend your kids, and if you rush into it quickly, you're going to get yourself in a mess. You're going to get embarrassed. Slow down. Okay? Hey, well, I'm going to defend my daughter. I'm going to defend my... Okay, defend them, but get the facts first. Well, I talked to them. That's what I mean. Get the facts. Well, my kid would never lie. Seriously? Really? And they may not lie, but they can twist. And they can push the right because they know you. They know what gets Dad going. The buttons to push. Don't be too quick to speak in self. I'm not telling you not to defend your children. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying be careful to run quickly to it. Next, number 13. Do not be a conduit for criticism. Do not be a conduit for criticism. Probably should have saved this for the verse that comes that's coming up here. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Don't be dry wood for criticism. Okay, be a wet blanket for criticism. Number 14, be careful of words that have no purpose. That's that verse in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 36, where God says every idle word that we speak will be called into judgment. That word idle means unemployed, has no purpose. Okay? So just be careful of words that have no purpose. Number 15, avoid words of complaining. Avoid words of complaining. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 10, where the Bible talks about do not murmur. Boy, God got angry with His people in the wilderness for the simple fact that they complained. They complained. So be careful. Okay? There's a difference in making a true statement. There's a difference in saying, boy, it is hot outside and humid, and getting a complaining spirit about it, complaining attitude about it. Number 16, this may be interesting until I learn how to tell time. What? Learn how to tell time. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 3:9, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. There is a great pair of verses coming up in the later chapters of the book of Proverbs. One verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. The next verse says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Contradiction! Nope. It's learning to tell time. When is it time to be quiet? And when is it time to speak? And if we'll learn to tell time, we'll stay out of trouble with our mouth. The wise person learns what time it is in reference to his words. You know, there are things that come up around here with staff, with church members once in a while, that I have to sit down and talk with them about. But I am always careful. Let's back that up. It's a big word, always. Most of the time, I am careful to think about, is this the right time to talk to them? Is this the right time? There is a time to speak. There is a time to be quiet. And the wise person learns to differentiate in those times. There's much wisdom in not allowing our mouths to run endlessly or without purpose. I wrote a birthday letter this week to one of the men in the church who has a birthday coming up at the end of the month. He is one of the more quiet men in our church. And I told him in the birthday letter, I said, you know, you're not as outgoing as others. But I always get a blessing out of speaking with you, and you always have something good to say. And that's a good thing. That's a good trait, learning how to control our mouths. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here on this Wednesday night in the summertime for these two lessons on the subject of wisdom. Father, we are grateful that Your book is inexhaustible. It is unending when it comes to wisdom, guidance for our lives. I pray that You'll help us, Lord, to be diligent with our possessions. And then, Lord, help us to know, to have the discipline to control our mouths and keep ourselves in check when it comes to words we say. Help us, Lord, to follow these guidelines, scripturally based. Be with us, Lord. Help us to pray for us here at the church, Lord, that we would take care. You've given us some nice buildings, and You've given us a nice property. And, Lord, we're thankful for it. And the things that we have here, just help us to be careful and help us to avoid being hasty. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and ladies are playing just in front of you.